Welcome back, everybody, to the BRBP podcast. Recording from the man cave tonight, it's your guy, Bully Rye, alongside, as always, his co-host, Big Tex.
Yo, yo, yo.
Big Tex, how you doing? You ready to talk some predictions for week four of the NFL season and week five of the college football season tonight?
Oh, man, let me tell you, I'm ready to predict. I'm ready to predict, and I'm ready to dictate and predict. Yes.
Well, before we get into all of our podcast pick'em and the segment we like to call the Fast Count, we are going to do a little bit of fantasy football talk. Going forward, I think we're going to talk about three of our leagues that some of our listeners should be really interested in. All three of which are also wrestling-themed fantasy football leagues.
For sure.
We're going to talk about our WWE Fantasy League, the Suplex City Fantasy League, and then one of the leagues that I am the commissioner for, the Tag Team Turmoil Fantasy Football League. So let's start us off by talking about the WWE Fantasy League. Big Tex, I know I'm a little more frustrated than you are in this league. How are you looking in the WWE Fantasy League?
Let's see. I am currently sitting at 2-1. I'm actually doing all right. Let me look at the standings real quick to make sure I see. In my division in SmackDown, which is our we have division Raw, SmackDown, and NXT, and in the SmackDown division, I'm tied for first place at 2-1. To be honest, on my team, I'm actually quite happy with what I have going on. Patrick Mahomes is leading me strongly. Stephon Diggs had a great game last night. I did, however, start the Rams last night, so yeah, I only got 2 points. But when I look at my team, I should be 3-0. I didn't start Patrick Mahomes the first week. It just didn't seem like it was the right time to start him, especially I'm pretty sure that was against the Chargers. And I was like, oh, I was still, you know, pipe dreaming off of how strong the Chargers were last year. Yeah, shouldn't have listened to that. Patrick Mahomes went off, and I had him sitting on my bench, so... only thing that I really am frustrated about right at this moment is the Le'Veon Bell situation, which I've spoken on a couple of times. I do, however, have Julian Edelman returning next week. So I'm super excited to see how my team will expand with him being in the game with Tom Brady, which we all know that's going to translate very well because they have unheard of chemistry. But how are you doing?
On the opposite spectrum, I am sitting at 1-2 in third in my division. I lost last week by a half a point.
That was such a close one.
It was not my best day, not my best reaction. In this league, and I guess apparently in most leagues, defenses are awarded points and deducted points, not just based on points scored, but also on yards gained. I take full responsibility for not paying attention to the yards gained portion of it. And with the Chargers getting me negative 6 points going up against the Rams, that's 6 points that it was taken off my board, and I lost by half a point. The most surprising teams in this league would have to be the Ultimate Maniacs, who was a consensus last place as far as his draft went, the way we thought his draft went. The Ultimate Maniacs are sitting in the top of the NXT division at 2-1. Only God knows how. There is only one team left undefeated, Jordan Geiger's team Clueless. If you look at his team, he's got guys like Ezekiel Elliott, Michael Thomas, Sterling Shepard. He was sitting with Jimmy Garoppolo and Rex Burkhead, who are both on IR. I don't know how his team is 3-0, but again, he's only had 371 points scored against him. That is the second least amount of points scored against anyone in the league. In the opposite side of things, we only have one team that remains winless. He finished second in the league last year. That is Josh and the Crimson Flare.
At
0-3, he has only scored a combined total of 371.1 points. If I'm doing quick math, that is the bless you, sir. That is the least amount of points scored in the league this season. So
I even muted my mic and y'all can still hear it.
But yeah, sitting at 0-3, the Crimson Flare 3-0, Team Clueless. This week should be a good week for some movement to get made. I'm taking on the 2-1 Winston 316. I believe he had Dalvin Cook and Brandon Cooks playing last night for a combined total of 27 points. You've got the reigning league champion sitting at 1-2, Rebecca Adams. She had 60 points scored last night.
Yeah, man. Gurley and Woods.
Yeah.
And you don't know what else? And she also and has Dan a Bailey. Kicker. Yeah, Dan Bailey. You know what's funny, man? How crazy is it that you could start five receivers from that game last night and five receivers go over 100 yards catching?
That's nuts.
That's insane.
It really is.
Insane.
So the only other notable I want to talk about is your lady friend sitting with 37 points scored last night. Poor Crimson Flare sitting at 0-3 has got an uphill climb to make if he's going to get his first win against Stephanie McMahon, a.k.a. Jenna.
Yeah,
I believe got 37 points from Kirk Cousins last night.
Trust me, so, me and the lady, we do what's best for business. So, you know, we try to make sure that, you know, the wins are coming. Kirk Cousins went for over 400 last night. Went for three touchdowns. No turnovers. Like, that's the Kirk Cousins that everybody in Minnesota thought that they bought. And I'm glad that he showed up like that. And he didn't let them down. Because I think him going there, and I even think Case Keenum going to the Broncos was a good move, too. It's just, you just can't stop the Rams, man. Like, how? Like, Todd Gurley isn't even having to run all over the place. Because he's catching a touchdown, he'll rush a touchdown, and then he'll watch four other people score touchdowns.
Well,
it's just crazy.
I do want to say that you and I have talked offline. You obviously are Triple H in the league. Jenna is Stephanie McMahon. As Daniel Ryan, it may be my time to do what's best for business, and we will leave it along that line. Let's move on to the Suplex City Fantasy League. I can start us off here.
Go right ahead, brother.
I am the unluckiest person in the league. This is the league. On our last episode, I talked about how I dropped 190 points, the second most points in the league last week, and still lost. I have scored a combined total of 445 points on the year, which isn't the highest that's on here, but I've also had 496 points, somewhat middle of the pack. I don't think I have a terrible team. I think this is the best 0-3 team that you'll ever see. I probably could use some running back help when Joe Mixon comes back. Giovanni Bernard will have lost some of his value.
He's going to lose all of his value.
But I also think in the same token, Royce Freeman's got the opportunity to step up. I've still got Matt Breida. It's time will tell if the 49ers will still struggle. We talked about Jimmy Garoppolo in our last episode. Mm-hmm. And then I've also got Aaron Jones, who I'm hoping at some point is going to step out and do something in Green Bay.
Now, he's got to learn how to pass block. If he learns how to pass block, he'll be on the field.
Before we get into your team, I just wanted to point out that there are three teams remaining left undefeated. You happen to be one of those teams, along with Commissioner, our buddy over at 123 Pins. Shock the System is at 3-0, and then the Phenomenal Ones, Anthony French, is also sitting at 3-0. Again, on the other side of the spectrum, the Ingobernable State Charleston, myself, the New York Bullet Club, and Get These Hands are all sitting at 0-3. So, really surprising to see so many undefeated teams left while also seeing so many winless teams left.
Right.
Big Tex, I already mentioned that you're one of those undefeated teams. Tell me what has helped you be so successful in the Suplex City League so far this season.
Well, it comes with names. Phillip Rivers, James White, Tyreek Hill, Mike Williams, DeAndre Hopkins. Leonard Fournette, T.Y. Hilton. To be honest, it has been more matchups than anything. Other than Phillip Rivers being lights out, I've had I have Kerryon Johnson, who I played last week. 100 yards rushing is always good. Geronimo Allison, I started him last week also. And he scored a touchdown every week so far. It's just really been matchups. And to be quite honest with you, I won my game last weekend by my defense. The Bears ended up winning me the game. So it's been quite the year. It's been real close. I haven't scored 196 points yet. But, I mean, I hate to do this to you, Frick. I'm probably going to give you your fourth loss.
Yes, for those listeners who aren't aware, Big Tex and Bully Rye face off in this league. 3-0 versus 0-3. Bully Rye will get his first win of the season this week. You heard it here first.
That's what he believes, ladies and gentlemen. He believes that wholeheartedly.
Believe, know, however you want to put it.
It too brute is all I got to say.
We need to put a friendly wager on this.
What kind of friendly wager are you looking at?
How about if Bully Rye gets his first win against you this week, you have to put a profile picture of the Gamecock logo on your Facebook page for the next week.
Ugh. Ugh.
And if you beat me, I will put a picture of the Texas Longhorns on my cover photo.
Absolutely not. If I got to put a Gamecock up, you got to put up a Clemson Tiger paw.
I'm not. No, come on. You're a Texas fan.
No.
No, come on. You sound like
I don't use the Texan flag to besmirch anyone. You're literally using the Carolina flag mascot logo to besmirch me for an entire week. I will not stoop to that level with my Texas Longhorns. I will co-sign with the Clemson Tigers and make you put a Tiger one up.
What about Tampa Bay? I mean, you gotta have to do something along your
team. That's not savage enough. Okay, something along my team.
Yeah, you gotta do something because I'm my Gamecocks are on the line. Like
that's fine.
That's
I'll pin my Texas. I'll pin my Texas Longhorns against your Gamecocks.
Okay, so if Bully Rye beats Big Tex in Suplex City this week, Big Tex has to use the Gamecock logo as his Facebook profile picture for the next week. And if you beat me, then I have to put the Texas Longhorn as my profile picture for the next week.
Yeah.
Okay, awesome.
That's fine. I can do that.
Awesome. But not to get too far off topic, you mentioned a couple players that you played last week, Geronimo Allison and Mike Williams. There are some whispers that Randall Cobb may miss this week. There are also questions about Keenan Allen's health.
I think Keenan Allen's going to be fine. However, I think the Randall Cobb stuff is legit. And everybody knows that when Randall Cobb gets hurt, he stays hurt. So, yes. That's scary for him, which automatically boosts Geronimo Allison up to wide receiver 2 territory.
Yeah,
for
so
real.
Keep your eyes on those situations. Keenan Allen may be okay to suit up and play. But I really, truly believe, and we've talked about this earlier in the year, although he is a former Clemson Tiger, Mike Williams is a big-bodied, playmaking wide receiver that I believe they said on the ESPN podcast and in ESPN Fantasy League, Mike Williams is only owned in 50% of fantasy leagues right now. So if he is available in your league, whether it's ESPN, Yahoo, NFL.com, CBS, go get Mike Williams if he's there. Because he is going to produce.
Like, can I say something, though? Absolutely. When it comes to those like graphics, those percentages that they look up, I don't think that they're actually looking at anything higher than a 10-team league. Sorry, my dog just bit down on her chicken.
No, you're fine, man. Don't worry.
It squawks anyway. I think that when they look at the teams like that, I don't think that they. It just. I don't know.
Well,
to me, it doesn't seem like, because we're in 12-team leagues. Mike Williams is gone. Any 12-team league that you walk into, Mike Williams is gone. It must be a 10-team league, because in 10-team leagues, the teams are bigger, they're better, they're stronger. And then you won't, most teams have three number one wide receivers. Because, I mean, there's 32 teams. So, nine times out of 10, Mike Williams is, you know, just sitting on the waivers.
I can't imagine, even if you're in a 10-team league, that Mike Williams is not on a roster somewhere. I mean, it would astound me if you were in a league where he's available on your free agency waiver wire, whatever Scoop you want to call him. It. Shame on you for not already having picked him up, and you pick him up right now. Moving on, the last league that we're going to talk about before we get into our podcast pick'em is our, I guess, my league, the Tag Team Turmoil Fantasy League. Fun note to make, there is not one team in this league that is undefeated, and there is not one team that is left winless. Big Tex, how are you? And we've got an announcement coming later in the show, but a good friend of ours that we are going to finally call Can't Get Right, are part of the NWO Wolfpack in the Tag Team Turmoil Fantasy League. Tell me how you and Can't Get Right are doing right now.
Well, to be quite honest with you, we're doing well. Our second game, last week, we had like probably one of the worst weeks. Week three. We had a horrible game. I don't even think we broke 100 points. It was like nobody showed up. It was a bunch of, you know, we had, you know, DeAndre Hopkins, Keenan Allen, Trey Burton. You know, they were all scored real, real low. So it was real hard for us to overcome the team that we were playing against. I think they scored 150 points, if I'm not right. No, it was 134.5 to 90.8. It was a pretty bad shellacking. I'm looking at the scores now.
That's a rough week three for you.
Yeah, man. Keenan Allen had 5.4 points. Amari Cooper, 3.7. Trey Burton didn't break 10 points. Jamal Williams had 6.5. But we went up against a 30-point Ben Roethlisberger, 16-point David Johnson, 14-point James Conner, 20-point Juju Smith. OJ Howard had 13. Will Fuller had 21.1. So it was just like we had a bunch of numbers that we could not catch up with.
I hear you.
But the first 2 weeks, we were solid. I think we averaged about 150 points a game. So I think that we're in a good spot. We have Kirk Cousins. I think our biggest problem right now is our running backs. We've got Joe Mixon out, which is really hurting us because our fallbacks is Jamal Williams, Peyton Barber, James White, and Austin Eckler. However, I think with White and Eckler in there, we should be serviceable at least until we get Joe Mixon back. But, yeah, man.
Yeah, you mentioned your average points the first 2 weeks of the season. It's actually fun to note. A team, first of all, every single division has two teams that are 2-1 and two teams that are 1-2. The leading scorer in the league is a team in the NXT division that are sitting at 2-1 with 441 points. The third highest point scored goes to Tyler Roberts and Charles Reed with the Broken Dreams. However, the Broken Dreams are sitting at 1-2. So they've scored a lot of points, but they didn't score them when they mattered.
That's the thing. You might score a heck of a lot of points, but if you're playing against a team that, like this week, if you're playing against the Jared Goff and Cooper Kupp stack, you lost.
Oh, yeah.
You know what absolutely. I'm saying? That's just it. So, yeah, man.
So, yeah, similar to how you and Can't Get Right are doing, our boy Will from 123 Pins, a cheap plug once again, he and I are the Dudley boys in this league, and we are also sitting at 2-1. Last week, we actually we didn't score the most points. Actually, I take that back. We scored more points than anybody in the league last week, winning 146 to 136. Our lone loss came in week one to the Houston Heat. My old next-door neighbors, the Terrys, Billy and Elizabeth, beat us by 12 points. We only put up 105 that week, but we put up 117 week two, and then 146 week three. So we're doing well. I'm worried this week. We lose both Adrian Peterson and Christian McCaffrey to byes. Fortunately, we have Chris Carson and Sony Michel to fill in. We made the decision to finally cut ties with Tyrod Taylor. I believe we may have started him week one.
Wasn't a bad idea.
Yeah.
Except he just didn't show up.
No, you know what? We didn't start Tyrod Taylor. We almost started him. I think we may have started him week two. But we started Matthew Stafford in week one. And that was the week that he threw five interceptions, whatever it was, against the Jets. But this week, we have picked up Andy Dalton, who is being talked about as being a really good flyer to play this week against an Atlanta defense that is decimated by injuries. And
the boys are poor.
Our wide receiving core is just nasty. I mean, Odell Beckham, Jarvis Landry, and Kenny Galladay, who's currently a top 12 wide receiver in fantasy. We've got Mike Williams and Marquise Goodwin sitting on our bench. Our weakest position is at tight end. We had Jack Doyle, who will be out. I think we read notes today. Possibly
another 2 weeks, I think, right?
Yeah, possibly October 14th he could return. But the Colts will be playing on a short week come next Thursday, so he's probably going to miss the next two games. So right now our starting tight end is Austin Seferian Jenkins with Hayden Hurst also. Probably not going to be coming back this week either. So, yeah, for the most part, my personal fantasy leagues, they're not as good as they could be, but it's still relatively early in the season. And I think I'm going to come back, and I can't wait to see the Gamecock on your Facebook profile starting this week.
Oh, my goodness.
But Big Tex, it's that time for our podcast pick'em.
Let's do it, brother.
We were on hiatus last week. We did not do a podcast pick'em. Our overall season records in the pick'ems, I am currently sitting at 20-8.
Ooh.
You are currently sitting at 15-13.
Oh, yeah. This is college pick'em, right?
No, this is both. This is NCAA and NFL combined.
I bet I'm doing better in NFL than I am in college.
You would be surprised. So in week three of which we'll call it week three of Pick'em, which was week two of the NFL season, we both went 4-1 in college Pick'em. This was the week that the Vikings and Packers, I believe, tied. You went 1-3 in Pick'ems. You had taken the Ravens over the Bengals, the Panthers over the Falcons. We both took the Giants over the Cowboys, and we both took the Bears. So where I went 3-1 in the NFL pick'em, you went 1-3. So yeah. That week I went 7-2, you went 5-4, bringing our total pick'em total to 20-8, and then 15-13.
Yeah, so I'm gonna turn that around this week.
Let's see if you can. So there are a lot of really exciting games and fun, interesting games to watch in college football this week.
Yeah.
Some of the games that weren't chosen to be picked. Again, Miami shellacked UNC last night. Syracuse at Clemson is a revenge game for Clemson. Syracuse cost Clemson their perfect season last year. Clemson coming in the number three team in the country. Their starting quarterback is freshman Trevor Lawrence after Kelly Bryant was demoted to backup and subsequently transferred from Clemson. That will be a fun game to watch at noon tomorrow.
Wait. Who transferred from Clemson?
Kelly Bryant. He's currently a senior. He was demoted right before the redshirt rule would have made him ineligible. So it's actually been a really big part of the news. He said that being demoted felt like a slap in the face, and he wants to go and play somewhere. So we're going to see Kelly Bryant transfer somewhere. But again, watch out for that Syracuse Clemson game. It should be a fun game to watch, considering what happened last season.
I have a question.
Sure.
What happens when you transfer your senior year, or is he a redshirt senior?
He hasn't redshirted yet. I don't believe.
So he could go somewhere and sit for a year and still play next season.
Matter of fact, no. I think I'm incorrect then. So He's leaving Clemson with the eligibility to go somewhere and play right away next year.
Gotcha.
Okay. So yeah. A couple other games that we're not choosing. We've got an SEC East showdown. I wouldn't say this is going to be a fun game to watch if you're a Tennessee fan. Number two, Georgia hosts Tennessee at 3:30 on CBS. Tennessee, I have said it all year, is trash, will continue to be trash, and is going to get beat worse than they got beat against Florida last week. A Big 12 showdown between Baylor and number six, Oklahoma. Something to watch out for. Another SEC showdown, Dan Mullen, now with University of Florida, taking on his former team, Mississippi State. Tomorrow evening, Virginia Tech takes on a ranked Duke team. A fun note that I wanted to bring up before we actually get into the college pick'ems. I read a stat earlier this week that Kentucky and Duke have been ranked in the AP poll in basketball a grand total of 546 times. So let me say that again. In the AP poll, Kentucky and Duke have been ranked at the same time in the college basketball AP poll 546 times. Big Tex, how many times do you think they've been ranked together in the AP poll when it comes to college football?
Four.
Try once.
Dang, I was close.
They are currently ranked.
I knew it had to have been on one hand. I knew it had to.
Duke is currently ranked 22 in the country. Kentucky is currently ranked 17 after their big win against Mississippi State last week. It is the first and only time that both Kentucky and Duke were both ranked in the AP poll in football at the
same time. Well, let me say congratulations. Good job. Yeah, good job. That means that somebody in the recruiting office is doing their job.
Maybe so. But we'll get a part of that here in a minute. Let's get right into the picks. The first game we're going to pick is number 9 Penn State traveling to number 4 Ohio State. Ohio State, obviously this week, getting back Urban Meyer on the sidelines after serving his few game suspension for the offseason controversy surrounding his
assault?
Assistant.
I think it was.
It was his assistant that he was apparently covering for. He said he knew more, or he said that he didn't know as much as he let on, whatever the case was. Urban Meyer returns for Ohio State in the number 4 Buckeyes to take on Penn State. Top 10 showdown between these division or conference rivals. Big Tex, who are you taking, Penn State or Ohio State?
I think that with Urban Meyer coming back, the whole attitude of the team will be different. I expect that Ohio State will win this one. And I think it'll be close, probably like for the first quarter. And then when it hits the second quarter, Ohio State's going to take off.
Yeah, I'm going to take Ohio State as well. Penn State, in all honesty, they should have lost a couple more games this year. They have not looked good at times at all. I was actually trying to pull up their schedule just now, and for some reason it is escaping me. But I know earlier in the season they played somebody really close, and it was App State. App State took Penn State to overtime. We thought it was going to be another Michigan game. App State came roaring back in the fourth quarter. Now, granted, Penn State has blown out their last three opponents, Pittsburgh, Kent State, and Illinois, 51-6, 63-10, and 63-24. I just think Ohio State is too good in this game for for Penn State to stick around. I got a little ahead of myself because the next game we're going to pick is number 7 Stanford and number 8 Notre Dame. Big Tex, I'm going to take Notre Dame in this game. Similar to what I just said about Penn State, Stanford has looked very beatable this year. Granted, I would say that Notre Dame's biggest win is against an unranked Vanderbilt team. They are still the number 8 team in the country. I want to make sure that I'm not misspeaking. They did knock off Michigan early in the year by a score of 24-17 in Michigan. But all of their games have been close except for the Wake Forest game. They barely beat Ball State by 8 points. They barely beat Vanderbilt by, I believe it was a 5-point win, 22-17, and they throttled Wake Forest, which isn't saying much. I don't want to say Notre Dame's been holding out, but I think they're going to take this game. Big Tex, who do you have between Notre Dame and Stanford?
After everything, I'm sitting here thinking, and I think this the first thing that I thought was Stanford. That's the first thing that came to my mind. The one thing about UCLA that trips me out every year that I've watched them is that they are such a roller coaster ride of nonsense. It's always them losing for ridiculous reasons or just bad calls, bad something, bad that, bad this.
Bad juju.
Yeah, just bad juju. And I don't know what it is, but for some reason I feel like that Stanford is going to stay in this game. And, you know, I think that I think Notre Dame is going to lead. And I think that they're going to push this game. And they are definitely going to set the pace. But I think that Stanford has a lot more going for them than what they think.
Yeah, Stanford's win, Stanford's so far marquee win this year has come against a ranked Oregon team who they beat last week in overtime. The next game on the list, we've got number 12 West Virginia taking on number 25 Texas Tech. In our last show, I briefly mentioned Texas Tech and their blowout win against Oklahoma State last week. However, I still think with Will Grier and that West Virginia offense, it's just going to be too much for Texas Tech. I've got West Virginia. Big Tex, if you had to, again, I know you haven't watched much college football lately. Who would you take in this matchup between Texas Tech and West Virginia?
Man, it's probably going to be a track meet. I think I'm going to take Texas Tech.
All right. You and your Texas team, man.
Listen, man. Once a Texan, always a Texan. If you grow up there and you spend time with the people there, anybody that goes and visits Texas says that they want to retire in Texas. So just trust me, man. Good people, good places.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at Texas Tech's schedule, they blew out Oklahoma State. They gave up 49 points, but they scored 63 against Houston. They did, however, lose. They lost a pretty bad game, in my opinion, to Ole Miss game one of the season. But they followed that up with a 77-0 win against Lamar. So it'll be fun to see, but like I said, I've got what you're
taking. Man, Lamar got that paycheck, huh?
I guess so.
They got that paycheck. Anybody that takes a 70-point beating like that took a paycheck.
Yeah, you're just right. Just saying. You're right. So the next game on the ticket, number 24 California hosting number 19 Oregon. Big Tex, I'm going to let you pick this one first. Just tell me who you think you got for this game between Oregon and Cal.
Man, I think I'm going to go with the Ducks, man. I don't know why. Just feels right.
Yeah, I've got Oregon as well. Cal, I mean, if you look at Cal's games, they beat a top 20 BYU team, but North Carolina, who has looked awful this year, Cal hosted North Carolina and they only won by 7. Oregon's sole loss this year came to a top 10 Stanford team in overtime. San Jose State was the next closest game and they won by 13. I've got Oregon winning this game as well.
Yeah, and for sure.
You know what's coming. South Carolina travels to number 17, Kentucky. South Carolina coming off a big win against Vanderbilt. They have not beaten Kentucky in 4 long, long, long seasons. Big Tex, I'm going to let you make your pick first because I think any of the audience that knows me knows which direction I'm telling you this game.
Yeah, and anybody that knows me knows that I dislike which way you go. So I'm going to pick Kentucky.
Yeah, Kentucky. I feel like Kentucky is going to be one-dimensional, and if we can somehow figure out how to stop their running attack, Benny Snell is Mr. Kentucky. Benny Snell is I believe number 4 all-time in rushing yards at Kentucky. He broke the touchdown record last week against Mississippi State. We've said this every year that we've lost to Kentucky. I just think South Carolina has too much talent across the board, for Kentucky to be able to win. The game's going to be a night game in Lexington. I still think it's going to be close. It's going to be a high-scoring game. I'm not sure what the over-under is. I know Kentucky is a slight favorite, but I'm still taking South Carolina in this game. So that was our college podcast pick'em. We're going to go over to the NFL and pick a few games from the NFL weekend this week.
Can I say something?
You know, before we move on, you go ahead and say something.
Hold on. Let me – and I apologize, man. What's funny is I keep saying I don't – and this, I mean this with no disrespect. I don't want to be the person that always interrupts like Matthew Berry.
You're good,
but
man.
I understand why he does. Because when you're sitting there and you're listening to the stats and stuff and you're talking back and forth, things come to your mind that you weren't thinking about before. You know, and I'm sitting here and I just want to touch back on the Bryant situation in Clemson. What? Like, yeah. Didn't Bryant just play in the national championship game last year?
No. He played in the playoffs.
It was the
Final Four. Yeah.
It was the Final Four, basically.
They lost to Alabama in the playoffs last year.
Okay,
Georgia,
that's what it was.
Alabama for the national
okay, title. But and Bryant wasn't the quarterback at the national championship game the year before. It was Deshaun Watson, right?
That's correct.
Okay, just want to make sure. But either way, you played a whole season at Clemson, okay? And I know that college is more tempered on the hot ticket right now. If you're out there, you're making it work, and you're scoring plays and stuff like that, they'll give you a chance in college because nobody's getting paid here. And every coach sitting there is trying to make sure that their team is in the best position to win. Coaches make good money. So the thing that trips me out is that this kid took Clemson to a Final Four of college football, basically, last year. And he let some kid who was actually pretty good, don't get me wrong, the boy that unseated him is cold. That little boy has a great arm. He's very smart. He looks a little small, though, but he's tall. So it's kind of deceptive. But anyway, to me, it blows my mind how you could be solidified in your job and it could be your spot. And you let some kid come in and take your job.
I'm going to run through his stats far. So the Georgia Tech game alone, Trevor Lawrence went 13 of 18, 176 yards, 4 touchdowns, and a pick. In comparison, Kelly Bryant went 6 of 10 for 56 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions, and attacked that on with an additional 4 carries for 5 yards. Now, on the season, Trevor Lawrence has completed 39 of 60 passes, 65% completions for 600 yards, 9 touchdowns and 2 interceptions for a quarterback rating of 192. Kelly Bryant has gone 36 of 54 with a 66.7% completion percentage for only 461 passing yards. Here's the difference. 2 touchdowns, 1 interception. So in Trevor Lawrence's 60 passing attempts, he's thrown 9 touchdowns and 2 picks, whereas in 54 passing attempts, Kelly Bryant has thrown 2 touchdowns and 1 interception. So it all points to the fact that Trevor Lawrence was playing better, is playing better. He deserved the starting job. There's a lot of people that are coming out saying, well, why doesn't Kelly Bryant go to South Carolina? Because South Carolina has the number one pro passer coming out of high school into the program next year, along with a senior Jake Bentley and a redshirt freshman Dakarion Joyner, who's probably going to redshirt this year, kid out of North Charleston. South Carolina, that was a dual threat quarterback. Clemson wanted him to play defensive back.
Shout out North Chuck.
Yeah, he wanted to play quarterback, so he wanted to come to South Carolina because he wanted to beat up on Clemson. So that is what it is.
That's so funny.
Watch some college football this weekend if you get a chance. Some really exciting, fun divisional conference games, however you want to present it, games to watch this week. All right, so let's go on to the NFL Pick'em. Big Tex, we're going to go through some of these games relatively quickly because we've got to get to the fast count and then our big announcement at the end of the show.
Oh, man, we don't have to go into them too deep. Say the game, let's pick it.
So let's go. The first game I've decided to pick you'll see no surprise. The Detroit Lions at the Dallas Cowboys. Big Tech, who you got?
Detroit.
I love that pick. I am going to go Detroit as well. I just think we talked about it before. I think even though the Cowboys beat the Giants here this year, the Cowboys just aren't that good.
No, they're not. It really sucks.
I'm hoping that this Lions win over the Patriots has given some confidence to the Detroit Lions, and they're going to make their drive to win the division like I predicted them to do preseason. So, next game on the ticket is your Tampa Bay Bucks at the Chicago Bears. I guess I'll take this one first. I am taking the Chicago Bears based on their defense. I know Tampa Bay's offense is lights out right now. We talked about it in our last show that Ryan Fitzmagic, you believe he should be the starter. I think he's going to start this game, and I think the Bears are going to make his life miserable, and it's going to open up the window for Jameis Winston to start next week.
I think you're right.
So you're taking the Bears as well?
Yeah, I'm going to take the Bears too. Tampa has absolutely no running game. None.
Yeah.
You are one-dimensional from the start of the game. And Pittsburgh doesn't have a defense, so they didn't have anything to worry about. The Bears have a defense. The Bears were a top team defense all season last year. Mm-hmm. And I think they're in the top eight this year. So when you're sitting here looking at this defense and you compare it to the Buccaneers, who basically our entire defense is on the IR, I'm pretty sure. I think we almost have an entire starting 11 on the IR. So we've got two rookies, I think, starting at cornerback, or three rookies starting at DB this weekend. So we are going to be porous, like Swiss cheese. So I would just expect for the Bears. I think this is a get-right game for Mitchell Trubisky. I think Allen Robinson is going to find the end zone this weekend, maybe once or twice. And I'm looking at Trey Boubou, too, as a tight end. I think he's going to cause a lot of problems over the middle. It's just, like, on our back end, we are so bad, the Bucks, that is.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah, and that's where I'm at.
You mentioned the Bears, or you mentioned the Bucks rather, do not have a running game at all.
Yes.
And the Bears are known for the pass rush. I think Khalil Mack is going to have a big game this weekend. We talked about this in our last show, too. Miami traveling to New England.
Oh, yeah.
I've already said that I've got the Patriots riding the ship this week. So I'm taking New England.
And Big I got Tex. The jammies. Got the my jammy.
You're taking Miami, huh? You're taking Miami over New England.
I'm going to, man. That's what we got to do to make sure our bet works.
Well, okay. If you say so. The next game on the ticket or on the list, however you want to, whatever you want to say. Baltimore at Pittsburgh on Sunday night. Big Tex, I'm going to let you pick this game first. Who you got between the NFC North rival Steelers and Ravens?
I want to say that the Ravens will win the game over the Steelers.
Well,
reason being is that I feel like that between Alex Collins, Javorius Allen, and Joe Flacco and the tight ends that he likes to dink and dunk with, I think that they're going to swallow the Pittsburgh defense and make them play up a lot more. And then I think they're going to torch them with John Brown. And even Michael Crabtree probably will have a good game too.
I'm going to ask you one question. What one word have I used consistently to describe Joe Flacco?
Oh, trash, garbage,
Yes.
Anything like that.
This is in Pittsburgh. Big Ben plays better at home than he does on the road. I'm taking the Steelers over the Ravens. The last game on the tilt is the Monday night game. We talked about this earlier as well. Kansas City at Denver. Patrick Mahomes has been on fire as of late, but he kind of cooled off in the second half of their last game. Big Tex, I'll go ahead and take this one first.
Go ahead, bro.
And I'm gonna take KC. I don't think there's any wrong to right. But nonetheless, I'm taking the Chiefs over the Broncos in my
sorry. Kansas City all the way. I am a firm believer in Patrick Mahomes. I think Pat will probably throw another 4 touchdowns this weekend. And I will even say that he'll throw 1 pick this weekend. I think he'll throw 1. And I think it's gonna be one of those ones where everybody's gonna be like, oh my God. And it's not even gonna be his fault. It's gonna be a tip ball. He's gonna like throw it to Sammy Watkins, it's gonna bounce off his chest and somebody's gonna pick it off and everybody's like, oh my God, he threw his first pick. No, he didn't throw his first pick. It got tipped and you caught it. I think that's what it's gonna be. I just feel like that there are 3 too many weapons on Kansas City. There's just 3 too many. Because there are not enough DBs on the field for the Broncos to cover that many players.
I hear you.
It's not, man. And look, and then here's a prime example. Look at how just one linebacker from one very good defense got exploited last night. The Rams attacked Anthony Barr all night, and there were 4 different people that scored a touchdown on Anthony Barr last night. It was either 3 or 4. Like, you really got to, like, take your time if you can. This is to anyone. If you got a chance to look over that game again, maybe watch it on Game Pass or something like that, where you can do the coach speak and stuff, and you can, like, slow it down. Look at the plays, because Anthony Barr is the guy that they exploited. And I thought that was very crafty, because usually when you're looking at the defense, you're usually trying to play away from people that you know can shut you down. Anthony Barr is a very good linebacker, but they knew that if they got him in the correct matchup, they could win, and they went to it often.
Well, it'll be fun to see if you can make up some ground as you are 5 games back in the podcast.
It's a young season, my friend. It's a young season.
Well,
I'm coming for that title.
Well, we're moving on. That was a podcast pick-ems. We're moving on to our fast count. If you remember this, if you recall correctly, the segment. We have chosen some scenarios in the NFL season similar to how they do it on the Fantasy Focus show or the Fantasy Football Now show on ESPN. The first week we did this, Big Tex, you out-picked me by 1. You went 6-4, and I went 5-5, and that's where we stand on the season. Huh. So we're going to go straight in to week 4 of the NFL season in our fast count. And we're going to start off. We just discussed it. Who's going to have more passing yards in this game, Big Ben or Joe Flacco?
I will say Big Ben, but only because of garbage time.
Okay, I've got Ben Roethlisberger as well. In the Jets-Jaguars game, who is going to have more rushing yards, Leonard Fournette or the entire Jets running back core? I'm going to take Fournette. I think he's healthy and ready to go. I'm taking Fournette to have more rushing yards than all of the Jets running backs combined.
I'll go with Fournette. Although I don't feel comfortable.
All right. More yards.
No, I take that back. I'm picking the Jets.
You're taking the Jets running back core.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So more yards of total offense, not total yards, most yards of offense. Cleveland at Oakland. Cleveland or Oakland, who are you taking for more yards of offense in this game?
Oakland. Derek Carr has averaged 300 yards a game in every loss this year that he's done and every game that he's played. So I think that he will still throw for 300 yards. He might not throw any touchdowns to anybody that we truly care about in fantasy football, you know, because he just likes to be like that. But, yeah,
well, Oakland. I'm going to take Oakland as well. The next one, more interceptions in the game between the Lions and the Cowboys. Matt Stafford or Dak Prescott with more interceptions, and I'm going to say that Dak Prescott will throw more interceptions than Matt Stafford.
I disagree. I think that Matt Stafford's going to throw more touchdowns and throw for more yards, but I think he's going to throw less interceptions. The DBs for Dallas are sneaky good. Sneaky good. And the other thing is I just feel like that Dak Prescott and them are going to try to hand the ball off to Zeke to try to slow and keep the Detroit offense off the field.
So you're saying Stafford throws more interceptions than Dak Prescott?
I say he does. Okay. I think he's going to throw – I think he'll probably throw – he probably will only throw one. But I think he'll throw more because he's going to be more inclined to throw than Dak will.
All right. This is the next one's a yes or no. Julio Jones will have a receiving touchdown against Cincinnati.
Yes.
I will say no to this.
I will say he'll score two.
Calvin Ridley will have a receiving touchdown against Cincinnati. I'm going to say yes.
Yes.
You will say yes as well.
Mm-hmm.
Deshaun Watson will score rushing and passing against the Colts.
Guaranteed.
You're saying yes?
Yes.
I will go no. I don't think he's going to have a rushing touchdown, but I think he's going to throw for a couple. Yes or no, the Bills will hold the Packers to less than 10 points. Now, remember, the Bills kept the Vikings last week. Who has had a prolific offense every other week this season to just 6 points. So yes or no, the Bills will hold the Packers to less than 10 points.
That's a hard one to commit to, man. That's a hard one to commit to. In my heart, I want to say that they can hold the Packers to less than 10 points. But in my mind, I know that Aaron Rodgers is not going to let that happen. No, I don't think so. Because I don't think.
I will go no as well. Another question from the Bengals Falcons game: who will have more receiving yards, Julio Jones or AJ Green? I'm going to say AJ Green.
AJ Green will have more.
All right. Yes or no? Denver will hold Kansas City to 30 points or less. This is our last fast count question. Denver has not let any team they've played score more than 30 points this season. So will Denver be able to hold Kansas City to 30 points or less?
No.
I will say yes. I think Kansas City wins this game, but I think they might win it something like 28-24 or something like that.
No, man. Well, so, yeah, the only thing about that, though, is that Case Keenum has been turning the ball over a lot. Well, and if he does, and you know Kansas City is one of them teams, man, if they get rolling, they get moving, they're you got to stay with them or you're going to lose the track meet. And well, we also got to think about what does Denver's special teams game look like? Because the offense of Kansas City isn't the only thing that needs to score points. If Tyreek Hill takes back a touchdown or two on a kick or a punt return, or DeAnthony Thomas or anybody else that's running back kicks takes one or two backs, then that 30 points is real quick.
Well, it'll be interesting to see how this game plays out.
For being sure.
In Denver, the altitude will have an effect on the game, especially late. So it'll be fun to see how the game watches.
And before you do the final thing, I got one thing to say before that.
Sure.
We're done with picking and everything already?
That was the end of the fast count, man.
Go ahead. Good luck with that, because I think the fast count is my arena. I want to say something that I know that none of the girls from Ashley Ridge High School here, Jenna will not hear this either. But I want to put the good juju out there. I want to wish them luck tomorrow morning in their first competition at Cane Bay High School tomorrow. They have been through a lot this season. Jenna being a first-year coach, the girls trying to get used to what she's into, and you know the parents trying to get behind her and stuff. I just want to put a shout-out there to the varsity competition team at Ashley Ridge High School in Somerville, Charleston, South Carolina. I just want to say, hey, y'all go knock their socks off because cheerleading is my thing. You know, that's my sport. So I'd love to see good teams compete. And she's got a lot of talent. We've been training those girls really hard. And I think that they're really going to surprise some people tomorrow.
Very, very well said. Very nice sentiment. And good luck, ladies. I'm sure you don't need it, but good luck to you guys with your competition tomorrow. That brings us to the end of our show and the segment that we like to call the finisher. I've been kind of teasing this for a little while. Some exciting news, at least we think it's exciting for us. For the first time, we're trying to get our Twitter page more active at the RBT Podcast on Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
We've got a couple of exciting things coming up. Starting next week, we are going to have have dogs barking.
The puppies are losing. Sorry.
We're gonna have dogs barking all over our Twitter page, and it's gonna go viral. No, we are gonna start the Bully Rise Top 25 for college football. I will go in at the end of the college football weekend, and I will make my own Top 25 that you can share with your friends, retweet, get it going. I know I'm gonna have some people yelling at me because the teams that I put wherever they go. But Bully Rise Top 25 is coming this weekend, as well as the very first. We're going to affectionately call them the Wolfpack Player Rankings.
Ooh, let's go.
Anyone who listens to our podcast, you are part of our Wolfpack going forward. Starting next week, we have approached a few of our friends who at some point will be on the podcast with us to analyze and discuss sports or whatever the case may be. They're going to come together and we are all going to rank our positional players for fantasy football. We are going to come up with our own consensus rankings, and I'm going to post them weekly on our Twitter page. So if you're,
if we don't like talking to each other,
if you are looking for some more advice outside of the quote unquote experts, be it those on NFL Network, be it on ESPN, look at, you've come to at VRBT Podcast starting next week and see what some regular guys who just enjoy playing fantasy football with each other feel about the players that are coming in next week and playing next week. It'll be Bully Rye, myself, Big Tex, and a few of our friends. We mentioned one of them is on Big Tex's fantasy team. We're affectionately going to call him Can't Get Right, because a lot of the times when we talk, when we get to talking about players when it comes to fantasy football, every now and then he mixes them up. So
it's like a word jumble.
So we'll call him Can't Get Right. My very good friend, the Greek, I've known him most of my life. And then a pun on his name, Lupino Grigio. We go back to high school. Another good friend of mine, we share the same first name. We also share a few fantasy leagues together. So between Lupino Grigio, the Greek, Can't Get Right, Big Tex, and Bully Rye, starting next week, we are going to have our very own Wolfpack player rankings for the NFL fantasy football.
Oh, yeah. We hope it helps. We do hope it helps.
So please go follow us at VRBT Podcast on Twitter. Send us emails at VRBTPodcast@gmail.com. If you get frustrated about something you hear on the podcast and you want us to talk about it on our podcast, let us know through the email. That's what we're here for.
We want to
talk about what you want to hear about.
For sure,
So,
and if there's something new too, like we said, we are not trying to stick to one thing. We talk about what we're comfortable with. So if you send us something, a different sport, different this, different that, if we're comfortable, we'll talk about it. There's no problem.
Absolutely. So we got some exciting stuff coming next week. We'll have a couple shows similar. We'll have a break it down show, and then we'll have another show where we do our podcast pick 'em, and so on and so forth, like we've done this week. We will also have a special edition show where we are going to preview the Super Show WWE is putting on in Australia next Saturday. We have not done a wrestling show since before SummerSlam, so we're excited to do that for you next week as well.
Yeah, that'll be a good time too, man. Shout out to the Women's Evolution. I keep saying something about it. Y'all need to be paying attention.
May Young Classic is going on and everything else.
And when that time comes, when the Evolution pay-per-view rolls around, we will be assessing that too.
Oh, yeah.
Thoroughly. So for Big Tex, I have been Bully Rye. Thank you for listening. Follow us at BRBT Podcast on Twitter. And if you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Concussion awareness.